Welcome back to another episode here at Fuel Pasión Podcast, where we're all about empowerment within cultura, faith, y conexiones. Today, we have a very, very special guest who has dedicated su vida, their life, to one, empower Latinas and women of all walks of life. And our guest is the founder of the Chingona community here in Greater LA. And man, well, before we dive into it, let's go. Hola, ¿qué tal? Mi nombre es Noan El Boricua, the host here at Fuel Pasión, and I'm excited because we have an opportunity to be able to have a conversation of a very special guest who has had this infectious energy. She's created a platform and has these accomplishments of not just for herself, but a lot of Latina women of all walks of life. And throughout this conversation and this episode, we're going to like delve into the importance of embracing one's identity as a Latina, as a woman, and the transformative power that comes with pursuing your passions. Our guest is truly un testimonio, a testament that has made an incredible impact, not just in the community, but at the university level, at a professional level. Oye, es un sentido de familia. It's just this essence of family. So without further ado, let's welcome the visionary founder de la Chingona community, a true trailblazer in the realm of Latina women empowerment. I hope you are inspired. I hope you are motivated. And I hope you are uplifted and more than anything aware of what Latina women, women in general, are doing, but specifically as we're celebrating nuestra herencia here in the sixth season of Fuel Pasión, my hope is that you could truly embrace the heritage and these endless possibilities that we've had in our conversation. So, I'm so excited. And this was pre-recorded, so I hope you guys get a chance. And then we'll kind of recap the conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Let's check
Amazing.
It out.
Amazing. I am beyond excited to really introduce Roz, who is an amazing Latina. We're going to talk about the Chingona community and really what it stands for, what it is. But I think for many of us that are local in LA, Loyola Marymount University alum, and we're going to get into some of the things that you do for LMU. You just recently did some stuff at the time of this recording. And I'm just excited to see, for everyone to really understand kind of your background, and more importantly, tell us because I know, you know, to be honest, it's such a culture shock hit, right? When someone says, oh, yeah, está bien chingona, bien chingona, right? Like it's a little bit of a hit. Roz, for you, what, let me ask this first. Why Chingona community, and what does it mean to you?
Those are deep questions. Because the Y Chingona community, somebody might not fully believe. So my day job's staffing, and I network a lot. I've been networking from the time I probably left high school through today. And I work out a lot. So everyone would, you know, I'd post things or some of my workouts, and, you know, my friends would call me Chingona, and, you know, I'd get a kick out of it, right? Knew what it meant. And then fast forward to me wanting to really look into starting up a women's networking group. I thought, well, and I had called my husband. I said, the name Chingona stands out. I said, if I'm going to have this women's group, I'm going to have this women's networking group on my terms, on what I feel is badass, but more than that, that maybe others don't embrace sometimes because they're scared. So I'm edgy as it is. And so the Chingona community was born. I originally was going to call it Corporate Chingonas, but I thought that was very pigeonholing, because that's not at all what I wanted to do with this group. I wanted to network. I wanted to bring different people, different women from different walks of life, from different experiences, from different levels, all together. And boy, has it just exploded. So if I had to share what it means to me, it means bringing passion alive. Mm-hmm. It means like converting passion to life. when I get folks who, I don't think I was going to get emotional this morning. When I get folks who tell me they've been watching me and watching the progress. And I remember when you said something about it and then now you're really doing it. Like, that's why they want to help, because I wasn't just talking, you know? And I'm not saying that people do that on purpose. Some people don't continue to have that nudge and or the passion. Sometimes the passion dies a little, right? But to have watched a passion just turn into this amazing, like real, like we call it, now we laugh. I'm like, we're real now. We got a bank account. We got an account, legal representative. We have all these, now we're real.
Love it. I love it.
That's what it means to me.
Tell us a little bit about your background, because the Chingona community has, you know, that's a separate thing. You just kind of said it earlier, what you do as a day job. So for those that don't know a little bit about your background, walk me through it. Like, you went to college. What was that like? And then how did you transition to your day job that you're in right now? And maybe I'll follow maybe like what, how that birthed the Chingona community. But for our listeners and for those watching, a little bit of background, like you went to LMU, Loyola Marymount University, private university, if I'm correct. What made your decision to go there, and what lessons did you get from that that landed you in your day job?
Yeah. Well, I had always set out to go to college. I'm local from Santa Fe, from La Mirada, went to high school in Santa Fe Springs, St. Paul High School. And upon graduating, always had good grades. And thank you for my mom. My mom was very much encouraging to make sure that, you know, colleges and visiting colleges and me, you know, you just think of big names, especially because we were at a private school. I was in pep squad. I never did sports, which I really regret today. When I was looking at different colleges, Loyola stood out with my mom for a couple of reasons. My mom's like, it's a private university, you know, it reminded her of church. And I didn't understand what that meant till now. But for me, when I visited the schools, they were so intimate. I felt we had a Latino overnight. And after Latino overnight, I was sold. I had originally wanted to go to USC. I did get into USC undeclared. I was the first to even take that endeavor to go to college out of my entire family. And I'm so glad I chose Loyola for several reasons, for it being small, tight, the connections that I still have. I'm really able to grow because they're real relationships. It's not just a broad alumni network, right? But at the same token, I also think Loyola still needs me because there's a lot of, they're still behind the eight ball as far as I'm concerned for women of color. There's several things that they just still need work on. And I'm glad that God has me in that relationship with Loyola because it's twofold, right? I go back, I give back to the university. I sit on a couple of alumni boards, the Latino alumni, it's called LAW, the Latino Alumni Association, have sat on one for Orange County. And then I go back to speak now. I get invited from different clubs and organizations to speak now. So praise goodness for Loyola because of those tight relationships. And I learned how to network on campus and I didn't realize that. That's where I learned it, right? You know, in high school, I wasn't fully involved in networking, but as I got into college, I got into clubs and I was in the Latino Business, LBSA, Latino Business Student Association, sat on the board and learned what it meant to meet different organizations and different people. And if it wasn't for that, now that I'm thinking of it, I don't know that the Chingona community would have been born because I moved from Loyola into an internship, which was great, right? But it wasn't my, I wouldn't say it wasn't my passion. I started with a great organization. I worked for Xerox, Latinas and or straight out of college students. I don't care what you are. You wouldn't necessarily have those kinds of opportunities. But I really leveraged this nonprofit group called Inroads to help me get into that. And I took advantage of their tutoring. I barely got 3.0s in college. I had a son. I was pregnant. I was probably the only, actually I should do some stat looking. I probably was the only student on campus pregnant, Latina for sure, on campus at Loyola Marymount. And 1992, and I had my son in 97. I literally had him, 96 is when I ended up at Loyola. I had him, and I actually was pregnant with him the entire time on campus, which is very crazy. crazy. It was really crazy. Yeah.
So you said your son was born in 97?
Yeah.
our son is born in 97 as well. So they're actually the same age. That's awesome.
26 years old.
Our son will turn 26 in November. That's amazing. I love it. Talk to me about your current day job. So you're in a current role. Why this role, and why do you feel this role has been great for you up until now?
You know, so I've been doing staffing. So I went from Xerox into staffing. I've been doing staffing 20 years this year, which is crazy. I actually went out on a staffing call and didn't realize it, meaning a sales staffing firm sought me out for a staffing company, which does not usually happen, meaning they paid a company that does what they do a fee to get me. And when I got brought on and when I learned staffing, right? Everyone will always need staff. There's temporary staff, there's permanent staff. There's all types of verticals, from healthcare to corporate America to nonprofit to sporty. You know, it's everywhere, right? I didn't realize it until I got in there. And then when I got good at it, I'm like, you guys paid $8,000 for me. I said, me and my son could have used that money. Like I said, what a ridiculous fee to have spent on me. But I laughed because that's how I learned staffing, right? I learned the benefits of it. I learned that everyone needs it. And I learned that I had a home in helping people progress in their life, but then also helping me financially to live a life, right? I've always been in staffing, sales, and now in leadership and management. If you really have that knack to sell, why not sell something that benefits everyone, right? You're going to get good people. I'm going to, you know, be your resource to get those people and be your partner to do that, right? And now it's a partner for life. You know, I tell my kids all the time, I didn't realize what my career was giving to me outside of money. And maybe as I got good at it, you know, time at home, like being able to juggle my family and working. But more than that, I don't have tuition saved for them. I will never have tuition saved for them. Like I barely could get myself out of a hole financially to buy a house. Like I barely got financially semi-stable at like 32 years old. Like, you know, I don't have anything to give you except for networks and except for contacts. I know so many people, I leverage so many people, and it's not to use them. It's to leverage their expertise, their skill, their knowledge, there's so many things that somebody else can give to you, and then you can reciprocate back in other ways. You know, there's a way to help us all grow and help us all, you know, progress, right? And that's what I tell my kids I can give them. I may not be able to give you money, but I can give you connections that would hopefully, you know, help you with a foundation or with a resource for things for later. So thank God for staffing, and thank God for me entering that career. But today my passions change. You know, I'm thinking about retirement. I don't have money. I know where I want to go, and I'm just building that plan. And how do you get there? You know, and me building this nonprofit, it's twofold. It's passion turned to life, and to help all these women out and to help us grow as leaders and be inspired from a health standpoint, from a community standpoint. But more than that, I know that I can leverage this as a platform for even other growth for other companies, that there's room for me to also financially make those moves and get me into Central California. You know, I could do this from afar. I will probably do this forever. I will probably truly keep my nonprofit passion alive forever. And I think that now I've seen the light in what I can do with my talents and skills. I just need the financial funding to do so, right? If I could only do this full time, and I only do this, oh my God, I do this part time and on the weekends. I'm seriously working. I've been working 7 days straight for probably half a year now. I take my breaks. It's probably been a good 6 months that I have not stopped through the weekends. That's why I was sharing with you earlier, to sit on the couch and fall asleep through two movies in and out for 6 hours yesterday is uncommon, but needed. And I know when I need to sit down and just look at nothing, you know, and get the energy back.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love, man, there's so many routes that I would like to go. I do want to kind of speak to, because you are about empowerment of, you know, Latinas, of women in general. And one of the questions that I kind of wanted to speak about, like, how have you navigated some of the spaces that you've been as a Latina? Like, how do you navigate it? What does that look like to you currently up until now?
Yeah. You know, it's changed a couple of times, honestly. So in college as a Latina, because I was involved in the, it automatically, it's almost like that's what I was kind of taught to have done. Like as soon as I was out of high school in 96 and I was getting my years confused. I'm like, how old am I? But when I graduated high school in 96 and moved into college through those next 4 years, right? You know, like your kind of pre-adult years and being a mother, you were just kind of taught that we were brought into that university as a Latina and as a Latino. I was chosen for that reason. Like that was the box that they were looking at and I fit that mold and I joined those clubs, right? I joined the Latino Business Association after school into the alumni, was even involved in Mecha a little bit, not a lot, not as much as LBSA, but still dabbled in that, right? Because that's kind of what we were truly segregated to just do. I didn't try any of the other groups and now I'm pissed about that, but I'm making up for it.
Yeah.
Originally at that time, that's what we were kind of taught to do, but it's good that we did that, right? Because we stayed united, stayed together, kept those links strong. But then after school, I realized how important it was to leverage all women and all groups. And as I networked as a young Latina, zeroed at first, and then a staffing professional, when I would go into different forums, I would work the room. I would start with the Latinos, so they knew, hey, you know, Latina, unite, here we are. And then I'd make sure and jump to the other pods, right? I usually knew ahead of time when I would go to events or even still today, if there are different groups or organizations in which A, somebody needed, B, I needed, maybe I was I'm staffing for, or somebody's looking for a job, I would kind of make those connections based on the need for others. But then not just for Latinos, but for a woman, right? What else is in here that I could help utilize for my kids? Now today for the chingonas, like if I work in a room and I want to see who's there, like who is really wanting to make that connection with me as a Latina, as a woman, and then now as a nonprofit serving the community, I want to make sure that those connections kind of match up. So it's a hard skill and trait to learn and to keep up with, but it has migrated from the time I was in college to today, whereas I think in college, I strictly only stuck with the Latinas, where today I'm seeing, make sure they know who you are, but build.
Yes.
How can we grow if we can't work with some of the other groups? What the heck?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's the context of like networking and conexiones, like, the saying that I've heard so many times that I've said is like, in order to be great, surround yourself with greatness. And that could look different, right? And I think the more you expose yourself to people like that and be intentional, because you clearly have the passion to be intentional to make these connections, I think allows it. Knowing the Chingona community, like, how do you believe? Because clearly you have a passion. I love hearing the passion of like connections, networking, empowerment. How do you believe the community engagement that you've been in right now and that you've seen contributes to like empowering Latinas? Because I get a chance to follow you on social media. I get to read you on LinkedIn and I get to see some of the success of all the engagement and contributions as Latinas, all these women coming together. For you, how important is that engagement for all these women that are part of this community?
I think it's huge because it's just, like I tell my kids, and you kind of alluded to it right now, about the groups in which you hang out with. And if you hang out with inspired women, with women who are maybe just taking that plunge, right? I'll give a couple of examples. So like I've had everything from folks who've lost loved ones to COVID, to empty nesters, to maybe somebody teetering with weight issues, to teetering with self-esteem issues related to weight. Schooling struggles, financial struggles. I mean, we have it all. But I remind everyone, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors and behind, in the back of someone's, at their home or in their personal life. So be respectful and compassionate to that. But more than that, if you do get a chance to engage with somebody that's going to keep you uplifted, let that fire drive you. This is not just about business, right? A lot of the impact in which we've made, and I think that the reason why folks want to stay involved and are intrigued with us, that they're real life stories, they're real life connections. Like, none of this is bullshit. None of this is staged. people ask me like, oh my gosh, do you sleep? Yes, I do sleep. I just try to figure out when, because I'm trying to continue to contribute to this movement of ensuring that you're not alone, right? At the end of the day, that's kind of what the Chingona community is about. United, bold, badass, right? We're not alone in any of those spaces, right? We're not alone to unite for good causes, for good community causes, financial need, just somebody who might need uplifting and an inspiration to us keeping healthy, right? If we're not healthy, we're only as good as we are. You know, we could only give, which, you know, we are good to ourselves. And if we're not making sure that we're watching that, you know, we all could fall, right? We all need a kind of back, you know, it's like, what do you call it? Oh my gosh, what was that game you'd play when you fall backwards? Oh my gosh.
Trust fall.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like, but it's like that, right? You got to trust that and make sure that we're helping each other out and to stay, you know, connected and impactful. And that means, and I just think, you know, the inspiration for the women in which have been vulnerable. Oh my God, that's so fun to watch, fun to hear, even for me, fun to learn from. But I'm so thankful that I've been able to create a platform that keeps us kind of that close and that willing to give that time and that energy and that impact back to the community. It's been amazing.
I love it. I think that is huge to what you say, trusting, but also seeing so many Latinas, so many women, kind of like that light bulb switches on and they realize, oye, yo sí puedo, like this can be done. And I think that's huge. Talk to me about you though, because you said a couple of, you know, little things here, right? Like you're a professional, you're a nonprofit, you know, founder, you're, you know, a mom, you're a wife, you're a friend. Like there's a lot of things going on. How do you, understanding the importance of your herencia, your identity and your family, how do you balance that? And maybe what words of advice could you give for some of us that are kind of navigating a lot of different things? How have you made it work? We know no one's perfect, but how have you made that work to balance and be intentional with who you're with?
You know, I think I always, by put me first, that has been one of the hardest things ever to do for several reasons. A, some people don't understand what that means. Some people think that that means you're being unhumble or stingy or selfish. But if you don't put yourself first, you will never, ever, and this is one of the words of advice, you'll never be able to give back what you maybe want to give back. If I didn't stop to, you know, sneak out to, I'm infamous for eating lunch by myself, trying to, you know, listen to music, but I might turn off the phone, right? Not listen to, not read anything for a minute, or letting people know, see y'all later, I'm going to wine country and I'll be back in 2 days, everyone, you know? Not sweating the small stuff. If the kids forget something for school, honestly, today, don't really care. We'll get it tomorrow. Like things that maybe as a young mom, I freaked out about, whereas today, put myself first, a little bit more selfish with what I need to stop. And then the same thing, not letting some of these minute things that really don't matter, just they can wait till tomorrow, right? If you can do that, that really helps me navigate being a better wife, being a better mother, being a better friend, giving the energy that I want to give back to the Chingona community versus maybe being stressed out, tired, annoyed, overwhelmed, right? Those are all natural feelings, right? But I have been able to know when to turn it off. I mean, yesterday's truly, truly, I don't think people would believe it. I sat from 12 to 6 or 7, 2 movies, laid in and out of bed, did fall asleep for a minute face first, some football games were on, but I knew I needed to do that. You know, I did have things to do. I did have emails to read. I did have things to write. I get prepped for my Mondays on Sundays. You know, I do work a lot, you know, but I knew that I needed to stop and I knew that I needed to not read anything and not worry about it. It'll all be there tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. I think that's really key. As we're getting to close, talk to me about what do you feel are some challenges that you see for the future of the Chingona community, right? So we see the great things. What are some things that you're kind of seeing that maybe might be some challenges, but that are kind of inspirational challenges for you within the community that you have?
Inspirational challenge, being a 100% grant producer.
There it is.
Amen. I mean, starting this journey, I didn't realize everything, you know. I mean, as soon as I got my letter that was very excited, but then, oh, you need an accountant, you need your bank account, you need your law, bylaws, board, minutes, all that. And oh, by the way, all of that costs money. I'm very thankful in my staffing career. I'm right. This year has been tough, but a few years back, actually during COVID, we were busy, right? Folks needed temps, folks needed people to get out to work. So financially, it was a great thing. And actually, financially, it was great. I got it all back to the Chingwana community, not realizing it, right? But now today, if there's one thing that I see as a struggle, but as a growth, once we get there, I mean, actually, we are getting there. But it's just the financial ladder that we're having to climb to get funding for our programming, to get funding so that we can take care of programming for folks that maybe can't afford it. Some of our leadership development programs and modules and workshops in which we'll be hosting soon. And when I do our health and wellness events, yes, we get certain things covered, but I'd love to be able to invite everybody as the Chingwana community, no fees, right? I want to do that especially for our participating members, right? That's something that I want to give back to them and that we're working on as a group, because this is a business, nonprofit or not. I don't think people understand. There are email domains from technology to meeting costs to dues for other organizations to giving back to the community to just some of the resources it takes to put on events. It's a business. It is a business, right? It's a business of giving back to the community, but there's still those, business items in which we need to cover. So I see that as being a beautiful challenge because we have grown so much and so many folks are so supportive of our cause that now some of those discussions are coming about being joint partners with them to help us launch and give, like I said, some of our workshops and programs to some of the women that we want to serve. So it's getting juicy, but it's so much work.
My mentor once said, we suffer in isolation, but we heal in community. How has your community been that source of healing for many women and really inspiration to so many Latinas when it comes to like healing and empowerment within the Latina community?
To know they're not alone. I think you said a little earlier, like to know they're not alone, to know that they could come. It's a safe space. I've always felt that way. I've always felt that everyone's welcome. And I love when I get the questions like, well, do I have to be Latina? And it's the quietest woman, I don't care what demographic this individuals would be, but they're a woman trying to come in, come be with us. Don't worry that, you're not alone. That the vulnerability when I hear the intros, because at the beginning of any of the meetings that we host, I allow everyone that platform that's never been to a meeting to, introduce themselves. And in some cases it takes half the beginning of the meeting, but I don't want to break that, right? Because, in some of our meeting spaces, they're larger now, but that's a great thing to offer to a woman, I got it out. Or, oh my gosh, it was a comment might've resonated that they said that even me over the weekend, a couple of intros, I was like, damn. And it was great, right? I felt like, I'm so glad and proud that you felt comfortable to say that. Like, that's amazing, right? And so when these Latina women's here, and especially the Latina women who were brought up in households that it wasn't okay to talk about abortion, drugs, sex, molestation, alcoholism, losing a job, having multiple dads, like all these topics that are just so jaded, right? And in our community, we're the worst, that she's Mosa starts instead of that. No, come on, we're cool. Let's do this. We can get through. We're Chingwana. That's what we are. We're Chingwana. Let's do this, So I think that's something that I have pride myself on and watched that happen. That people feel and see that they're not alone and that they're welcome. This is an open environment. You are welcome.
Love it. Love it. So I'll throw up the website here. And I know that they can find out more about the Chingwana community. Where can people find you? We sure enough have the website there. But where can they follow you? Maybe what are some things that you guys are seeing down the road within the Chingwana community that you're excited about that you would like to share?
Yeah, we have a couple of them. So you would be able to see all of our information, especially like live information on Facebook and on Instagram. And then in addition to that, we have our canned food drive coming up in November. So take a look. The flyer is going to be going up. That is Saturday, November the, we had three events just this weekend. Saturday, November 18th at the Veterans Post in Pico Rivera. That'll be from 10 to 2. That is a family event. Not only do we collect cans on behalf of veterans, veterans' families, local churches and community groups, but we also have vendors, we'll have food, we'll have a DJ. So that's definitely one of our fun events in which we do. And then our following holiday community event and do alongside and in partnership with ABF, that's the Abigail Barraza Foundation, that will be on Sunday, December 3rd in the city of Santa Fe Springs. So those are our two big finale community serving events in which we'll do for 2023. But anything else you'd be able to catch on our social media, along with on our website, from some of the day-to-day activities. And our calendar's full next year. So take a look out for their, our calendar is completely full for 2024. Some really big things coming up for next year. So I can't share them all.
Keep it tight.
I would let it out if I could, but I can't and I need it, you know. But there's a couple of really exciting things that we have coming up for next year.
I love it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that shows you right there, numero uno, you got to follow the Chingona community. And for all of our women and Latina listeners and viewers, this is someone, right? I mean, Raw said it earlier, like, it's about empowerment. It's about connecting. And it's also knowing that you do have a voice. And if you don't have the resource, this is why there's a community, right? And I think that's really great. What last words would you like to share with all the Latinas and just the audience in general when you think about Chingona community and when you think about nuestra comunidad? What last words of advice would you like to share with everyone?
Don't ever forget your passion. Don't ever forget your passion, whether that be a nonprofit, whether that be a sports dream that you have, a business dream that you have, a family, you know, something to do for your family. Don't ever give up your passion. Don't ever forget what that passion is. It's easier said than done sometimes, but don't ever forget your passion.
Facts. I love it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm super excited. I would even say check out FuelPasionPodcast.com as well for all the stuff that we have. And we will have this episode there. You could check it out, or you could just check it out on YouTube as well. But Ross, I just really, really appreciate you. Muchas gracias, la verdad, de lo profundo de mi corazón, that one, you're doing what you're doing para la comunidad, for all women, but even specifically para las Latinas. I think that's really, really big. And I think that we need more Latinas like you, women like you, that really are willing to, one, just take a shot, right? Shooters shoot. And that's the whole point, how you approach it. And I think that's really big. And the fact that you took time to be on this, I am so grateful that you were willing to just set some time aside and really to be able to share why you love all the women and all the Latinas y porque ellas sí son chingonas, right? And I think that's the beauty of it. So I wish you nothing but the best. I'm excited to follow every step along the way. And yeah, I hope everyone else does too. So muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
Ross, muchas gracias. Honestly, it was an amazing conversation. And as we come to end this inspiring conversación, I want to leave you with a call to action. I think this is something that I want to start challenging many of you based on some of these conversations. I want to say that it's time to embrace the strength of comunidad and never lose sight of your passion, of what you're pursuing in life. Wait, recuérdate, remember that you are not alone in this journey. I want you to reach out, connect, learn, and really lean into the support and wisdom that can be found within your own community. Look, whether it's the Chingona community or any other like-minded community of individuals, I want you to surround yourself with those people who can uplift and empower, and I'm gonna give you another one, and enable you to be able to go after what you're looking for. And it goes without to say, as Roz was saying, and you could tell just in her passion, like, never lose your fire, never lose your drive, never, like I want you to understand that your passion for what you believe in, don't lose any of those things, because your dreams and aspirations are worth fighting for. You know what I'm saying? Like stay true a tu identidad, your identity, and you have the power to be able to create the most meaningful change in your own life and the lives that surround you. So can I leave you with this? Can we make a commitment today at the time of this episode, para seguir pa'lante, keep pushing forward, nurture your passions, and build, you know, construir esa comunidad, that community that embraces and celebrates the brilliance within our Latin community, and in the case of Ross, the founder of Chingona Community, Latina women. And I think unidos together, we can break the barriers, we can shatter the stereotypes, and really pave the way for a brighter and more inclusive future, because that's exactly what she's doing, as we heard and as we listen. So I want to say muchas gracias for tuning in. Remember, your voice matters, your dreams matter, and your journey matters. Esa aventura, the adventure, it matters today and every day. So, oye, get out there, yo. Get out there. The window's right here that I'm looking at. Get out there. Make a difference dentro de tu comunidad. And I want to say thank you for joining us. I hope you guys can enjoy this episode. Share it with someone that needs to hear this message from Roz. And for all the Latinas out there, muchas gracias por todo lo que hacen and inspiring us de que podemos seguir pa'lante in all that we do. As always, immerse yourself dentro de la cultura, grow in your faith, and make those conexiones. Y como dice mi abuelita, que Dios te bendiga.